Morning, church. Happy Feast of Pentecost. We are joining you from the Chapel of the Transfiguration. For those of you who don't know about this place, if you've just recently joined us at St. John's Episcopal Church online, the Chapel of the Transfiguration is our summer chapel located in Moose, Wyoming, just north of Jackson, up in Grand Teton National Park. It was built in 1925, and the church and the people of Jackson Hole and people all across the country have stewarded and cared for this beautiful chapel for almost a century now. It's a delight to be able to offer worship from the chapel this morning, because we've made the heartbreaking decision of keeping this chapel closed for the summertime in order to safeguard our community. As you can see, we are on sacred ground here this morning with the most magnificent view available from a church right behind us. I'm so really happy to be joining you from this place and able to offer worship from this place at least once this summer. A couple of announcements. We're working hard on reopening our church for public worship on Sunday mornings. It seems as though we're narrowing down on the date of June 21st for that. That'll be under a tent on the grassy area behind our church, adjacent the labyrinth, and of course we'll be wearing masks and appropriately socially distanced. As we get more details about the reopening, we will share those with you, of course. Also want to say a hearty thanks to Carol Harvey for organizing the blood drive yesterday, for all of the volunteers and all of those who donated blood yesterday. We're grateful. It's such an important act, especially at this time when we're trying to keep our healthcare system strong here in Jackson. Your donation of blood and your volunteer hours, and Carol, your organization and idea have made a love-spreading difference in our community already. So we're grateful for that. After the ringing of a bell and a moment of silence, we'll begin our worship. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
God of love, you know our innermost thoughts and the deepest secrets of our hearts. Holy Spirit, move into our lives with your mercy and forgiveness. Cleanse us and make us whole, so that we are ready to serve you and your creation with love. Amen. Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Christ have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, who on this day taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending to them the light of your Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit to have a right judgment in all things, and evermore to rejoice in her holy comfort, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. A reading from Acts. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native tongue of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Philia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, and in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on earth below, blood, fire, and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now let's all say together the portions of Psalm 104, which is found in the bulletin. O Lord,
how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Yonder is the great and wide sea, with its living things too many to number, creatures both small and great. There move the ships, and there is that leviathan, which you have made for the sport of it. All of them look to you, to give them their food in due season. You give it to them, they gather it. You open your hand, and they are filled with good things. You hide your face, and they are terrified. You take away their breath, and they die and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, and they are created. And so you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in all his works. He looks at the earth and it trembles. He touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will praise my God while I have my being. May these words of mine please him. I will rejoice in the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
So in the story in Acts, we hear the Pentecost story, right? And it's very dramatic. The people gather, and something wholly unexpected happens, right? There is this this violent wind that comes and the fire that comes and it, I don't remember the exact words, but it lights on each of the people, and yet they don't burn, right? That's kind of miraculous. And they begin to speak in all in their own languages, and yet there's this understanding that's inexplicable, and yet there are no barriers to understanding. There's no language that holds them apart, or culture or race. They are communicating, and it is this, I think you used the words earlier, which I really love, this expansion. I feel like my heart fills up when I hear this story, because there is something that is so much bigger and greater and grander than these people just sitting in a room. Something extraordinary happens there. And I juxtapose that with this story told in the gospel. And that is returning to what we've been talking about for weeks now, which is this farewell story from Jesus. And it's a very intimate story where Jesus comes in, sees his disciples, says, "Peace be with you." He shows them the wounds on his hand and on his side, and they rejoice because that they know it is their Lord. And he says again, "Peace be with you. As my Father sent me, so I send you." And then, and this is the moment, this is the Pentecost moment, right? He breathes on them and he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And so we have these two sort of incarnations of the Holy Spirit in these two very different ways, and yet it is all about this sense of the Holy Spirit being in the air that we breathe, being all around us and within us. And I love that idea of God breathing the Holy Spirit into us. I'm reminded of the Genesis story, creation story, where God breathes life into Adam. And God's breath becomes Adam's breath, which in time becomes our breath. There's that continuity in that breath. So I've been thinking a lot about that this week. And I was reading something earlier in the week by another pastor, and she wrote this several years ago, so it wasn't about this time, but it struck me. And she was telling a story about visiting a parishioner in the hospital. The parishioner had been in surgery and had been intubated. And when they removed the tube, there was some damage to her lungs, and she was having a really hard time breathing. She was having to work very hard to bring that oxygen into her body. And the pastor sat by her bed and became very aware of her own breath and the ease with which she was able to breathe and the gift of that breath. And she said something that struck me. She said, "Breathing is something that we take for granted until we can't." And for me, that was so profound for this time when we're living through this global respiratory pandemic where people's lungs are being ravaged and people are losing their ability to breathe. And I think about, you know, the presence of the Holy Spirit in all of that sort of struggle with, you know, where is the Holy Spirit when we lose our breath, right? So putting all of those things together and thinking about this throughout the week, I started thinking about the, you know, we now have 100,000 people who have died in this country, 350,000 worldwide. But there are lessons in all of this for us, I think. Important lessons, things that we need to remember. The first one that comes to me is this sense that we are totally interconnected. That, you know, this is global. We are all in this together. And sometimes we forget that because I have my moment, you know, I'm in my house and you're in your house and we feel disconnected, but the reality is that we are all interconnected. We are all part of humanity. And that is very important to my particular faith. I think of Christianity as a communal faith. It's not about my personal salvation. It is about how we together can create the kingdom of God and be in a place where we are loving and people are safe and they're cherished and they're respected. And Christianity teaches us that, but interestingly, COVID is reminding us of that. The other thing that I think we need to remember is all we know, the only thing we know about fighting this virus, is that we have to take care of each other. Mm. That's it. That's all we can do at this point. When we stayed home, it wasn't necessarily because I was afraid I was going to get COVID. It was because we had to make sure that our medical system was able to take care of those who did. If it wasn't me, if it was going to be you or you or you, that we were able to care for those people. So we stayed home. Now, as we begin, our communities are beginning to open up. We are asked to keep distance and to wear masks. And I don't wear the mask for me. I wear the mask for you, Brian, and you, Jimmy. Mm-hmm. And you wear it for me.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that is the ultimate expression of the gospel.
Yeah.
That we are here really looking out for each other and loving each other. And it saddens me that some people see the mask as a threat, because I see it as this ultimate symbol of our love for one another.
Mm-hmm.
I'll stop there, and I have more to say, but I invite you all to...
I'm sitting here thinking about that story that you shared about the pastor attending the bedside of the patient struggling to breathe and gaining a new, or at the moment, new consciousness of her breath.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about how so many of our spiritual practices are about gaining a consciousness around our breath.
Yes.
Or at least that's where it starts.
Right.
And that's where this story starts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a real consciousness of pneuma, of ruah, of spirit, of wind,
mm-hmm.
in a really dramatic way that's exciting and engaging and a little whimsical too. It's a little bit of a whimsical story, I think. And at the same time, in that expansive act of that pushing the breath of God down into humanity again, I'm also thinking of our lack of consciousness around our breath.
Yes.
And those moments when we feel disconnected from God. Are we? No, we're just not conscious of our connection. So we work, we apply our efforts spiritually in our religious practice or our private spiritual practice to gain a consciousness around our connection of God. But the story also tells us that even in the absence of that consciousness, we remain connected and empowered.
Mm. As long as we're alive, we're breathing.
Yeah.
Right? And as long as we're alive, that Holy Spirit is alive in us. It's not only alive in us, it's my contention that it's what keeps us alive.
Yeah,
right?
Literally animating.
Right, right.
Literally animating. And, you know, fire and wind in this story are such beautiful metaphors, because both of them can be destructive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But both of them can be life-giving also. And in fact, I mean, when we're breathing, we're oxidating. And that's what happens when you light a fire. You know, the wood is oxidated. So there's this really cool interconnection of Holy Spirit, humanity, people, animals. Plants do it a little differently, but they're doing a similar thing too. But everything that is alive, I believe, because the Holy Spirit is at work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I can't think of any better explanation for that. So, you know, not only do I, most days, I rarely think about the fact that I'm breathing unless I remember to come back to my breath. I do that once in a while, but not as much as I should. But all day long, every day, I'm breathing, I'm living, and I'm not really aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, until something kind of dramatic happens, and then I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. This is life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is breath. This is amazing. So I hear that going on in this story too.
I think that I have such a sense, I sat out on my patio and watched the aspen leaves blow in the wind and watched the sun dabble on them and made a point of doing just what you said, really getting in touch with my breath. And I felt this sense of gratitude, you know, that this is life and that I have this privilege of breathing easily. Mm-hmm. And it gave me so much more compassion for those who aren't breathing easily. And I don't think that we can talk about or make the statement that breathing is something we take for granted until you can't this week and not talk about George Floyd.
Yeah.
George Floyd, who was killed in Minneapolis when a police officer put his knee to his neck and cut off his breath, and he died. Breathing is a privilege, in a funny way. The fact that as a white woman, it never occurs to me that, first of all, I'm going to get pulled over, because I probably won't. And if I do, that somehow that my breath will be taken from me. But I live in a world where the chances of that happening are almost nothing. In the world that George Floyd lived in, and black men around this country, men and boys, is so very different. And we need to acknowledge that. I think as Christians, we are called to love, and we don't have the luxury of turning our back on what I think is a pandemic of racism that has been with us throughout our history. Mm-hmm. And it may feel like Minneapolis is a really long way from the Chapel of the Transfiguration, but George Floyd's death hurts our souls too.
Yeah, I think just about that. We've talked about this expansion of power that we get at Pentecost, and we spend most weeks 50 out of 52 at St. John's or the Chapel of the Transfiguration, talking about the benevolent side of our empowerment. We encourage one another about how we might spread love and make a difference, or how we might grow in such a way that we do good acts for the community. And it's rare that we acknowledge our own ability to use that power in a dark way. But I do believe that the gospel demands that we understand the full extent of our power, and that we dedicate ourselves to the rigorous work of devoting our power to love rather than fear or violence, the oppression of certain groups of people, particularly we're talking about black people in America this morning, and the real struggle. I sometimes struggle to know exactly what to do about that.
Absolutely.
But I do believe that as we lean into these wisdom traditions, particularly ours, we find our way. But it's been a hard week.
It's been a
hard week.
And I don't think we have any choice but to find our way.
Right.
This.
Well, and Jesus says we have power, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he puts it a little bit differently in the gospel reading today. He says, you have the power to either bind sin or to forgive sin. I think what's implicit in that statement is you also have the power to sin.
Yes.
Right? And so I'm going back to that shadow side of wind and fire. And that shadow side of our agency in the world as, face it, three white folks, sitting up here talking about this right now. Sometimes I don't even know how to talk about it, but because of where I sit, right? But I feel like I have to talk about it, and I feel like that we are called to do more than we're doing. And I don't know exactly the right way through yet, but I feel like if we're open and if we're diligent and if we're serious about what we're doing, that the Holy Spirit will inspire us. I think it would be wrong to just sit back on our laurels and wait for that to happen. I think it means we have to go out and try a few things.
And listening for the language of the other.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm remembering my grandfather was full of proverbial wisdom, maybe a little too full of proverbial wisdom, honestly. One of the things that he said and that he taught me was do something even if it's wrong. Mm. And you know, it was just this sort of call to action. And while I don't adhere to that 100%, I do think we need to be somewhat cautious, especially as we respectfully and empathically move toward historically oppressed communities like Black people in America, as white people. We need to be cautious, but there needs to be some movement here.
I think we have used our caution or our fear of doing the wrong thing to keep us from doing anything at all.
I think I have.
But unless we take action, it feels like we are, I hate sin language, but complicit in that sin.
Mm-hmm.
And we can do more, and we have to do more. There's an uplifting moment for you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important. It's important to talk about it. The shadow side, I like the way you talk about that, because it's real. It's there. I'll leave you some homework this week. It's getting very bright in my eyes here. So this week, I would like you to take time throughout the week to sit somewhere, ideally somewhere peaceful, and really pay attention to your breath. Maybe not in your normal meditation that you do, but some new way. Really pay attention to your breath and feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, in your breath, in your body, and just be fully present to that spirit as you breathe in and breathe out. Do that throughout the week. See what happens. Amen.
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 Just hanging on, facing I could light the night up with my soul on fire. I could make the sun shine with pure desire. Let me feel that love come over me. Let me feel how strong it can be.
Please join me in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father of the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
As we pray for the church and the world, I invite you to offer your own prayers after each bidding. I ask your prayers for God's people throughout the world, for Michael, our presiding bishop, and for John, our own bishop, for all who visit the Chapel of the Transfiguration, and for all ministers and people. Pray for the church. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
I ask your prayers for peace, for goodwill among nations, and for the well-being of all people. Pray for justice and peace. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
I ask your prayers for the poor, the sick, the hungry, the oppressed, and those in prison. Pray for those in any need or trouble. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
I ask your prayers for all who seek God or a deeper knowledge of him. Pray that they may find and be found by him. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
I ask your prayers for the departed, those we now name, either silently or aloud. pray for those who have died. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
I ask your prayers for those on our parish prayer list, for Jackie, Mark, Eric, and Paul, and Rebecca, the Brown family, Marion, Stan, Mari, Sylvia, and Megan, and Warren, Melissa, Gail, and Amy, Robin, Ernie and Francis, Ned, for Mark, Julie, Tony, Svetlana, and Jim, Rob, and Kelly, Sue, Susie, Stephen, Mary, and Russell, Nikki, John, for Jean, Anne, Cindy, and for those we now name. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
Praise God for those in every generation in whom Christ has been honored, especially for those celebrating birthdays, Susan, John, Barbara, Bridget, Caden, Freya, Warren, Chilton, and Liv, Judith, Susie, and Bill, and those celebrating anniversaries, Jimmy and Cindy, JB and Diana, Dan and Susan, Gary and Susan, John and Ann, Mark and Allison, Noel and Ann. Pray that we may have grace to glorify Christ in our own day. Gracious God, receive our prayer. Hear our heart's deep yearnings, yet to be formed into words. Give us the courage to yield ourselves, all that we are and have yet to become, to the transforming motion of your Holy Spirit, and carry out in us and through us your work of new creation. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the risen and living one.
Amen. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also
with you.
May our hearts feel a song of the meadowlark, our minds the clearness of the mountain air, and our souls the freedom of the soaring eagle. May our faith be renewed as the creek in spring. May we celebrate the saving redemption of the cross and all its mysteries. May we always feel the love of the community of Christ. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Creator, Redeemer, and Giver of life, be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Alleluia, alleluia, go in peace to love and serve the risen Christ.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia.